Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have any baseball fans here today? Okay, a couple baseball fans. When I was a young boy raised in Connecticut, my dad was a former Brooklyn Dodgers fan. And so even though we lived right outside of New York City, I could not believe or follow the Yankees. I was definitely to either follow the L.A. Dodgers by that time, or since we also were Cape Codders, to follow the Red Sox, right, Dorothy? Okay, the Red Sox. And I grew up playing baseball with my dad, played till about ninth grade in high school, and something I love about the game of baseball is it really is a game of second chances. You know, you get up to the plate, and the pitch comes in, swing and a miss, strike one. And you try again. Pitcher gets ready. And swing and a miss, strike two. And in fact, that's why we don't have Lutherans usually sitting in the front pews in churches like this. You can actually swing again. Foul ball off down this line, out of play. And you can do that indefinitely. Keep having more and more foul balls. You're not actually succeeding anything. And you can stay up there till doomsday, ultimately, getting yet another chance with baseball. Unlike a lot of other sports, you miss it and it's over. But baseball, it's a game of second chances. Well, the wonderful news that I have for you today is that our God is a God of second chances. And I want you to understand that about Him today so that you can take heart in your faith when you feel that you have struck out with Him. Because we all often will miss the mark. The word in the Hebrew for sin is chata. And that word literally means to miss the mark, to swing and a miss, down to strike three, if you will. And what we have, though, is a God that says, step up to the plate again, even though you've swung and missed. For our God is a God of second chances. Now, let me see if I can prove that to you. Okay, for your encouragement and taking heart in the faith. Let's open up, if you will, to Jonah chapter 1. Now here it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In other words, God said, go, and what did Jonah do? He ran away. So in other words, God gives him a command. He's at the plate. He's a prophet of the Lord. God says, go to Nineveh, cry against it, that great city. And Jonah knows that they might be given a second chance themselves and be saved. Jonah doesn't want that, so he says, God, to your command, here comes the pitch, here's the law. No. Right past him, strike one. Now, we know that at times in the Bible, strike one against God is an out, right? There are times when His wrath is quickly kindled. But what we want to understand, though, is our God is slow to anger. That's His general nature, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It says He repents. In other words, He does not wish to send calamity upon persons, but rather to restore them. And what do we see with Jonah after he has this strike that should have ended with God striking him? God, it says here, what happened to him? The rest of Jonah, we see that he went down to Joppa, got a ship to Tarshish, to far away. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. Here's a consequence for his sin, right? And then God sent a great fish to swallow Jonah. And he went down to the depths of the sea, and all God's waves passed over him. He was going down to the roots of the mountains, it says in verse 6 of chapter 2, to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. In other words, it sounds like game over, doesn't it? Just about game over for this strike. And yet, nevertheless, what does it say? That yet thou didst bring up my life from the pit, O my God, says Jonah. Deliverance belongs to the Lord, he says in verse 9. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land, verse 10. Chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. Isn't this a great message to you that God has in this word? I mean, he bucked the will of the Lord God Almighty. He heard it as a prophet with absolutely no question as to what God's will was. And he said, God, no. And even then, God said, Jonah, my child, my rebellious child, I send upon you great affliction to teach you a lesson here. Now step up to the plate again and take another swing. God came to him a second time and said to him, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. What a great news for us that we have a God who gives second chances. And believe me, even more than two chances. He gives many, 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 many strikes and yet still comes after us relentlessly, pursuing us because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So what happens when you take a strike, though, with God? When you chata, as it says in the Hebrew, when you miss the mark, he gives you a command, you fail to keep his law, there's a consequence to it, isn't it? You have a great wind hurled after him, a fish, he's in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, and then he was actually vomited onto the dry land after that. But you see that God gave the second chance, but in the affliction that came from the first strike, he taught him something, didn't he? Because what's it say here? God says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, proclaim to it the message I tell you. Did Jonah learn his lesson from his first strike? Well, he still hated, he didn't want Nineveh to be saved, right? But did he obey? It says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He learned his lesson, didn't he? It says in Psalm 119, verse 67, it says, before, and watch this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Has God done this with you? He gives you a pitch from his word, from his law, you swing and miss, you say, no, I will not do that, Lord. And then you have a consequence for it. As a father disciplines his children, so the Lord disciplines his children. And he does it, as says in the scriptures, in love. And he loves Jonah. And despite his sin, his failure, his, no, Dad, I won't do it, yet the father pursues him, disciplines him, and then, second time, he says, I'll go. Because, hello, I just got swallowed by a fish. I just spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. From saying striking the first time, I think I'll go to Nineveh this time. Right? Doesn't this the way it happens with children and parents? When your child does something wrong, thinks there's no consequence, you give a consequence for the crime that will teach the lesson. Next time you say it, they say, I think I will go this time. Well, God does the same with us. But when he sends the affliction, he could have destroyed Jonah, but he gave him a second chance. Because I want you to know today that our God, our Father in heaven, our Creator, is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he doesn't delight in your swinging and missing. He wants you to get a hit. And so he sent us his word to help us with that. In fact, having repented of our sins and come to Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us, which now has the Spirit of Christ in us, which enables us to hit the ball, to hit the mark, to hit God's laws, to succeed in them by the Spirit in us. But let me just prove to you in a few other cases here. Remember David? Of course you do. What do you remember David for? Bathsheba. You can always remember her because Bathsheba. Okay, you saw her taking a bath. He had a one-night stand and gave up everything for a short little time with this woman, this other man's wife. And you'd think after everything God gave him, God would say, all right, that's it. I took you from the sheepfold. I made you king. I defeated Goliath through you. I blessed you with fame and honor and riches. And if that weren't enough, I'd have given you 1,000 more if you just asked, why have you done this thing? I'll strike you dead. He could have done that. And yet look at how God treated him. It says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, David said to Nathan the prophet, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Wow. God even gave David a second chance. Do you think he'll give you one? And more than that? How about because of his great love for you? Think about Peter in his day. Peter steps up to the plate. I'll not strike out on you, Lord. You're going to go to the cross. I'm going to go with you. Right here, right past you, right with you, Lord. The Lord is taken into custody, and he's in the courtyard, in the garden. He steps up to the plate, points to the home run fence, and do you know this man? This man also is a Galilean, right? Weren't you with Jesus? I don't know him. Strike one. And then another person sees him and says, this is the way I keep you excited, by the way, swinging bats around. Okay, you don't fall asleep in sermons with this, okay? And the second time, someone came, your accent betrays you. Of course you were with Jesus. No, I don't know the man. And again they said, surely you were with Jesus. And he invoked a curse upon himself, swearing, I by no means know the man. Strike three, Peter, you're out. Go to the dugout, right? And it says he went away and wept bitterly. Don't you think God would be done with Peter after that? Three strikes and you're out? Well, in baseball, yes. But with God, what happened to him? In John chapter 21, Jesus comes to him again and says what? He says, feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter, more than these? Feed my lambs. And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. He restores him how many times? He says again, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Jesus restores him three times. Three strikes and you're out, Peter. But three more pitches from the Lord to restore him to fellowship. How about that? How about this? The man, how about the woman in John chapter 8 commits adultery. Come on, of all things, adultery should not be forgiven by a holy and righteous God. And yet, the woman comes before Jesus. All the scribes, Pharisees, and the Jews want to do what? Take stones. And they're going to do a pitch, right? We're going to give you a wild pitch right here and hit you right in the head. Because, why? They're trying to condemn Jesus as who they're after. But they use this woman as their sort of ploy, you know, to get to him. And they say, she's committed adultery. She deserves to die according to the law. She has swung and missed the mark. And so they're ready to give a pitch, come on through, and right in the head and kill her. And what does Jesus do? He steps up with her to the plate, beside her, and makes them throw four balls. Why? Because he says, okay, go ahead, throw a pitch to her. Kill her. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And they all looked at their stones, realized that they themselves had sinned, and they dropped them, and went away. And Jesus, on that day, gave her a walk, if you will, because he says, woman, where are they? He was on the ground at the time. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She says, no one, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. Right? Of course, once we repent, God doesn't want us to keep on sinning, right? Once we have that strike, oh, this is the sure sign of a good sermon, that I've been charismatic enough to lose my microphone again, but God forgives our sins. So we don't want to then say, okay, God forgives me all my sins. I can have a strike and he'll forgive me tomorrow. I can sin today and I'll be good tomorrow. Is that the way this works? No. That's to misuse this sermon. Because his wrath can be quickly kindled, right? So we don't say, okay, I'll just sit up here and do whatever I want and sin because he's going to forgive me tomorrow. That's not the way it works. But I want you to know that God's message to you is, I am slow to anger. I'm abounding in steadfast love. I will pursue you and pursue you. And I've given you example of David, of Jonah, of the adulterous woman, of Peter, and all these other greats that struck out and yet I restored them. And that's a great message of confirmation. When the Lord restores you to service, it is what a great blessing to see that the Lord has forgiven you. as also even with Nineveh. He sent Jonah there to give them a second chance. So what a great God we have today. And one more story then. 1975 World Series, remember? Of course, I was 5 years old. You may remember a little better than I do. But it was the Boston Red Sox against the Cincinnati Reds. And it was a long game, sixth game of the World Series. And they were in the 12th inning. It was now 12:33 in the morning, October 21st, 1975. Who steps to the plate? Tie ball game against Dave something or other pitcher. Carlton Fisk steps up. Second pitch comes in. And what happens? Whack! The ball is lined right down the left field line. And it looks like it's going foul. And up until this point in sports history, they always used to take pictures of the ball. But one of the cameramen was distracted, he says, by Rat. And he was actually taking pictures of Carlton Fisk instead, which changed sports history. Because what do we see of Carlton Fisk? The ball is heading foul, and Fisk starts running down the first base line going, fair, 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 pushing the ball into fair territory. And what does the ball do? It goes and hits the foul pole line on the left field line, which is a fair ball when it hits the pole, and was a home run, and everybody erupted into great jubilation at the victory. That was the end of the game. Winner home run. Bottom of the 12th inning. Well, let me tell you something. The devil has been pitching against us from the beginning of creation, a no-hitter. He took God's law, and no one could hit his fastball. We were all swinging and missing, and it was a total no-hitter. But then at the bottom of the ninth inning, or the 12th inning, our Lord Jesus Christ stepped up to the plate, and he faced off against this great pitcher and with God's law, and he hit it with a perfect righteous life. And as the ball is sailing, let's say, toward the foul line, toward the pole, toward the great tree, toward the great cross, it hits the foul pole line. Jesus becomes sin for us, but it's still a home run for us because by his death, he's won for us life and eternal life. And what happened at the end of the game? Carlton Fisk was the one who hit the home run. He had the great glory, but who rejoiced? His whole team comes running out of the dugout, surrounding him with hugs, because it was their victory too, even though they weren't at the plate. And that's the same thing it is with our Lord God, the God of second chances, that he came to the plate, won the victory for us, and he gives us the victory. As it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 and 7, I think the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God of second chances, in Jesus' name, amen.